Now entering Nerdist.com.
Hello and welcome to an episode of Today We Learned.
Today We Learned.
That's what we're going to do.
We're going to learn some things.
Yeah. We're going to get learnt up from the floor up.
Buckle up.
Learn down for what?
Learn down for... That's funny.
Yeah, maybe that'd be
we,
a...
That we should make
a potential,
sure.
A potential second name for the podcast.
Yeah,
or it's at least a good catchphrase, because that will never not be relevant. Love that show. Learn down for what? Anyway, guys, good to see you again. Sorry, was I here last week? I can't remember. I was here.
You were
here. I was
here. You were here.
You weren't. You left...
You were here, I was not.
Something, yeah. Oh, you were taken, according to my last intro, you were taken by the CIA.
I was taken by the CIA.
So, yeah.
I disregard everything I say.
But he got water bored of being there, and now he's water back.
Yeah. It was. Yeah, I wasn't here, but I was here for the bonus episode, which you were not here for.
I was not here for the bonus episode.
Yeah, so, but, yeah, now we're both here now.
Exactly.
We're both here today.
Our stars have aligned. And it's a good thing, guys, because I am super stoked about today's episode. And I know I say that every time, but this guy, today's guest, it was my first time meeting him, and he was so funny, so pleasant, such a nice guest to have. And I think we learned some stuff.
Yeah, it was Matt's a good guy. This is the next guest. He's a very funny comedian. I've performed with him around town a few times. And he's got a really great podcast that I enjoy listening to. You guys should check it out as well. And it's just a really fun. It was a fun episode that we recorded. I've wanted to have him on for a while, and we luckily got him on. And it's he's a good guy. He's a good cat.
Yeah.
He's a really fun, cool dude.
So let's just get right into it.
Yeah.
Without further ado, today we learned number 46. 47.
Aristotle's shaking his head.
40.
Ready? Let's pretend this never happened. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a...
Yeah, we'll do like the little drink
Wayne's
sound effect.
World, yeah, the Wayne's World, the visual effect.
Yeah.
Mega happy ending.
Yes.
So without further ado,
today we learn number 47 with Matt Knudsen.
Gentlemen, let's broaden our minds.
Some tremble, please.
Gotta get a little talent. Gotta get a little talent.
Can I get some talent in my left ear, please?
We're blowing all the gold. Are we recording?
Always.
This is killer.
Always.
Thank you. That's our show. Tune in next week for more preamble.
The shortest podcast in the world, ladies and gentlemen.
Or the Usain Bolt of podcasts.
Yeah, it's next time on Blowing Your Load.
What's that on my chest? Oh,
and,
it's the podcast.
And as always, I'll get a towel.
Fun times.
Yeah.
Good times.
There we go.
And we're not even at Ridgemont High. I can't believe it.
That's true.
All right. Which one of us is Spicoli?
Not it.
Not it.
I do love pizza, but...
Yeah, I'm the Judge Reinhold of things, you know? Yeah. Kind of responsible.
Well, you're
kind of
tall. You're taller.
Well, there's a certain regalness.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's getting kind of late. It's actually on my family crest.
Yeah.
I'm just that guy, so...
So I think we're going to stay in tonight.
I think we're going to stay... Hey, guys, keep it down.
Yeah.
Keep it down. How was your walk with Christ? Let's talk about it.
Judge Reinhold, I miss him. He needs to be in more things.
Sure. He should become a judge.
Yeah.
Judge.
Yeah, I mean, there's that show Bad Judge coming out, so clearly there's a demand for judges.
Is there a bad judge?
There is a show called Bad Judge. I've only heard a promo for it.
Oh.
I didn't see anything, but he's a bad judge.
Yeah, I think it's a woman,
if
I'm
not
mistaken.
Well, she's a bad judge.
Yes.
Whomever it is. I'm sure they're bad at judging.
Just by what she's wearing.
Yeah. You call those robes? Get out of here. You call that a powdered wig?
Mm.
We need to bring that. They have throwback days for like sporting events where they wear old uniforms.
Absolutely.
Judges need to have the same thing where they have to wear the powdered wigs.
Oh, yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
That
just
was
like
the party.
Throwback bailiff costume.
Well, you know, the wigs were the precursor to the Republicans, if
yes.
I'm not mistaken.
Yeah,
it
but
was
there was
wigs
an,
and
there was
Tories,
an, there was
right?
an H in there.
Well, then right. there was the Bull Moose.
Wigs.
What is your wig?
There was also a Bull Moose party, I remember.
Yeah, that was
Roosevelt.
Teddy Roosevelt.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Bull
the Bull Moose. Are we recording the podcast?
Oh, we are.
Always
okay.
Recording.
Because I was going to say, I went to the White House, and I was like, you know, I was there kind of working on something. I was working at the White House Halloween party.
Okay.
And one of the Secret Service men, he had to like escort me to the bathroom. And he's like, hey, you want to come check out this? And like we went into this room where he's just like, yeah, that's the sword Washington was wearing when he crossed the Delaware. And I was like, well, that's pretty cool. But it was like in a shadow box. It was just like hanging like there because there was no security. It was like, it's the White House.
Yeah.
If you're in, you're already in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's like, you see that over there? He's like, it was like some bamboo like tube. And like you can like open it up and it becomes a ladder. He's like, that was Roosevelt's. That's how he got on elephants.
Oh, my God. Like, before he killed them.
Before he killed them with his weight.
Bully.
Bully.
He's the Secret Service guy who just joined to get chicks and give them tours.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
you want to see something cool? Hey, check this out.
And then he produces his penis.
Yeah. Do you want to see a dead body?
Yeah. Let me introduce you to the twins. Blah, his balls. Like, oh, my goodness.
Why do you call your penis the twins?
Guy has two heads. Oh, God. Why?
Because I'm from Minnesota. That voice, ladies and gentlemen, you hear is a very talented, very funny comedian, Matt Knudsen. It's Knudsen or Knudsen?
Knudsen.
That's what I thought. I remember I seen you not too long ago.
It is the
Vikings. Remember it was pronounced Knudsen, and then I'm typing this up, and I'm like, is that a silent K or is that a not
No, the way you pronounce it the first time makes you fully qualified to call me on behalf of Time Warner Cable.
Yeah.
And Mr. Knudsen, I'm calling about your...
Are you pleased with your long-distance service?
Exactly. Have you considered Sunday delivery of the Los Angeles Times?
Are these... What year are they calling from? Are they calling from the 30s or
Can
I interest you in a polio vaccine?
Update now and you get the 2 terabyte polio vaccine.
It's more space than they could conceive of.
I know.
Don't worry about it. People mispronounce my name all the time. But yeah. I'm not worried. Sure. Because you made this like expression on your face.
I just want to get it correctly for the listeners.
Sure. See, I have a pretty easy last name, Casey, but inevitably I will get Mr. Cassie.
Yeah.
Mr. Cassie.
Yeah.
See, my real last name, my birth given name is Gwizdala.
Gwizdala.
Gwizdala. So people will say Gwizdala. People will call Grimwald. People will go Griswolda. It's weird.
Mm-hmm.
That's why anytime people say, what's your last name? I say, I don't have one. You don't need it. Like, how do you spell your last name? There's none.
You don't need it.
It's like Sting or Cher.
Yeah. So I just decided, you know, Razzle's easy. It's better than Eric Gwizdala.
Yeah.
It sounds like, I will say, I maintain that Gwizdala sounds like a tech blog.
Did
you see what happened to Google on Gwizdala? Today?
Yeah. Oh my God. Gwizdala shot through the roof.
Stop down to our Gwizdala Comic Con booth for a free sticker and the Gwizdala girls.
We're a peer to peer streaming network today.
Everyone gets free Gwizdala pogs. Where are pogs? Don't dare stop pogs.
They're coming back. They need to hit their peak nostalgia value.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. They're still on their upward trajectory.
You get a free pog when you buy a Tesla.
Yeah.
Don't forget about the Tesla pog.
Did you guys see what happened to that stolen Tesla?
I do.
It happened over the 4th of July weekend.
It did.
Someone stole a Tesla from a dealership in South LA, and they led the police on a like 100 plus mile per hour chase all the way up to like La Brea and Santa Monica, where they lost control of the car.
Lost control.
Yeah.
Wow.
And what happened was hit a bunch of cars, and then I don't know how this happened. The car split in half.
Wow.
Half of it wound up wedged up in a building,
in between buildings.
So that they couldn't remove it without like very special construction equipment.
Wow. And Teslas are notorious for their safety and like not splitting in half somehow or another.
The battery apparently part of it ruptured and the car caught fire.
Holy
so it was
moly.
Just like straight up Fast and Furious stuff
split
going down.
The photos online.
Paul Walker.
We realize this is an audio podcast, but the photos online are worth Googling alone because it's like in the movies.
Well, today I learned that.
Yeah.
I did not hear
that. Just Google Tesla. Seriously, wait, what happened?
Right. And then I could actually hear like the car salesman who's just like, all right, now make sure.
Yeah.
Make sure and tell the buyer that the car is unsplit and halfable.
Yeah.
And it comes with a JD powertrain, 10,000 $10,000 warranty.
Able to evade it, all kinds of police and squat.
All right. It might split in half.
It might split in half.
But I'll throw in the air freshener.
And the palm.
No GM ever split in half.
Power seats. But anyway, getting back to business.
Back to business.
We like to start at the podcast by having our guest either tell us something about themselves people might not know, mm-hmm. or a fact they learned recently.
You know what? I can actually say this fact that I learned recently because it happened about 2 hours ago. I
was
having a
That's
phone
recent.
Call with my sister-in-law. Her name is Rebecca. She's a wonderful woman. And
how are you doing, Rebecca? Thanks
how
for
you doing,
listening.
Rebecca Scott. Hello, hello. And I said, how's everything going? She's like, I'm just running around with like a chicken with my head cut off, you know, like Mike the Chicken. And I was like, that's funny. She's like, oh, you know Mike the Chicken? And I was like, no, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Just being polite.
Do you guys know Mike the Chicken?
Yes, he was the famous like circus chicken that survived for a number of years without a head.
I did not know that.
A farmer cut off Mike's head, and a little bit of its brain stem survived at the top of the spinal cord. So it lived for like 7 years.
Like a long time.
Like 8 years.
Mike the Headless Chicken, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
Born April 1945, deceased March 1947.
Yeah.
Also known as Miracle Mike, not about the movie. Don't confuse Miracle Mike with the movie. He was a Wyandotte chicken that lived for 24 months after his head had been chopped off.
Yeah.
Oh my God. 2 years without a head.
Interesting stuff, ladies and gentlemen.
That is weird, wild stuff.
Although the story was thought to be a hoax, the bird's owner took him to the University of Utah in Salt Lake City to establish the facts of the story.
Yeah. And I guess the farmer's wife learned how to feed, just put corn down the chicken's neck.
Yeah, just pour it down the old hatch.
Wild.
I did not know that until 2 hours ago. Yeah. So does that count as something new?
It does. Absolutely.
I've never heard of this until just now. Now, your sister lives where?
They live in an area called Oak Park that's like north of Calabasas.
So they live here in California.
They live here. My brother-in-law is actually one of the owners of a special effects company called – it used to be Stan Winston Studios.
Oh, awesome.
And then they became Legacy Effects after Stan passed away.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So my wife and Alan, who's one of the owners, his wife, they're sisters.
Okay.
So that's my sister-in-law and his – and her husband, Alan. So
Mike the Chicken, I've never heard of that.
I had never heard of that either. Yeah. But she just like threw the reference out like, Mike the Chicken.
You know Mike.
Oh. But I have to say, put it out to a group. One person, did you know? Okay, so we have two not knows and one
yeah.
knows. So that's
25% of people in America know about Mike the
yes,
Chicken.
Yes, 33 1/3% of this room.
Mike the Chicken.
Mike the Chicken.
Ladies.
And we're doing our I guess it's Mike our Dana Carvey,
yeah.
Carson, but Carcinio.
Turtle.
Man, that is weird, wild stuff.
Wild stuff.
I have my finger elongated.
Yes. this chicken lived for so long.
How long did he live?
He lived for 24 months. That's kind of
so
switched from Carson to almost like Robin Leach. It kind of morphed into like that, like just like you guys are like a rich snooty wasp.
Absolutely. And my favorite part is like the part where there was supposed to be like the joke twist was actual legitimate information.
Yeah.
How long did he live? 24 months.
just the facts, ma'am.
The comedian who does those old school setup punch jokes where the audience has to ask and then it's just trivia.
Yeah, it's just the legitimate answer.
Did you hear about this? Yeah. Did you guys hear about this?
There was a guy who hated his wife so much.
How much did he hate her?
He committed homicide. Homicide.
He's now in jail.
He's in Sing Sing.
He's being held on bail.
The audience just learns stuff. They're not entertained. It's just like a lecture. Did you guys hear about this one? The Battle of the Pueblo was actually fought.
Or you do the Leno. Hey, Kevin, huh?
Did you hear about this?
Did you read about this?
I am actually...
Somebody stole a Tesla and split it in half.
I bought
bought that half. I bought both halves. I'm actually, after I leave this podcast, I'm going to the Ice House. And
yes,
I'm
you are.
Doing a show with Arsenio.
Arsenio, I read about that.
Oh, wow.
Right. I seen that.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I read about that.
Hilarious.
I read about that on Twitter.
So did you guys hear about this? There's a show at the Ice House with Arsenio tonight.
So if you're if you get an early copy of this podcast, go to the Ice House in a couple hours.
Right, be there. I'm excited. I've never met him before, but you know, I'm a fan. He's one of the staples. I mean, especially like 90s air. It was like, who's taking over the Carson spot? And he was really nervous back in the day. Yeah. So
and he didn't.
Eh, what are you going to do?
What are you going to do? He's had more talk shows than I have.
Sure, absolutely. He's been in Coming to America.
It's really good.
It's really a good movie and really super duper funny.
No, Matt, back to you real quick.
God, about time. I was like, hold on, we're getting dangerously far away from me.
I was reading on the internet here. I was reading on the internet, and it said you were a merchant marine.
True.
True. That's a fact.
That is a fact. How merchant marine were you?
I was so merchant.
I was such a marine. Yes, that is 100% true.
Now, I had no fucking clue what that was, so I looked it up and I copied the first paragraph from Wikipedia. So here it is.
Okay, let's hear
it. Tell me how true this is.
Okay.
Merchant marine. The United States Merchant Marine is the fleet of U.S. civilian-owned merchant vessels operated by either the government or the private sector that engage in commerce or transportation of goods and services in and out of the navigable waters of the United. Navigable is the word, but it doesn't sound right, so I'm just going to say navigable.
Make
waters.
It your own, sure, yeah.
Waters of the United States. The merchant marine is responsible for transporting cargo and passengers during peacetime. Now, in a time of war, the merchant marine is capable of being an auxiliary to the Navy and can be called upon to deliver military personnel and materials for the military. However, the merchant marine does not have a role in combat. Although a merchant mariner has a responsibility to protect cargo carried on board his or her ship.
100% true.
100% true.
That is all of those things, especially the word that you made your own.
Navigable.
That's more true than any other.
Navigable
other
is a
navigable,
word.
Navigable. I did that. I got out of high school. I was in junior college for one semester. I was a cashier at an Office Depot, and I was just like, oh, no. Oh, no. So I met somebody at a party who was doing this. I remember specifically it was this guy was showing videos of he and his friends riding rickshaws around Thailand. And he was like my age. And I was like, so what's all
so what Office Depot do they have there?
Exactly. Do they have what kind of staplers do they move there? So he just kind of introduced me to the right people. And I basically did that for about 5 years instead of going to college.
Wow. Did you have a lot of seafaring experience prior to that?
I had never done anything like that before in my life, but I went to a training school for about 6 months. It was a place called the Paul Hall School of Seamanship, which is in Piney Point, Maryland. It was run by the Seafarers International Union, which is an AFL-CIO. It was like a union job. Mm-hmm. Have you guys seen Captain Phillips?
Yes.
I have not.
Yes.
Captain Phillips is almost the most accurate representation of merchant marines that I've seen. It's just kind of like, civilian guys.
Yeah, yeah.
So Captain Phillips is a merchant mariner.
He was a merchant mariner, merchant mariner.
Yeah.
Or, and I don't like the term, merchant seaman.
Okay.
Yeah.
Somebody
give me the towel, right?
So it's not all, you're a sailor on a boat that's
You're transporting cargo, you're transporting goods.
So like those shipping crates.
Yeah.
Yes.
You're a sailor on one of those boats.
100% true. And I've heard it called the truckers of the sea.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Which I think is really accurate. Mm-hmm. And I mean, when I was shipping out, I had long hair.
Yeah.
I had a beard. And what I would wear to work every day, I took coveralls and I'd cut the arms off and I'd cut the legs off and make them shorts, and I'd wear that and boots, and that was my whole.
So your average Silver Laker.
Sure, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Like a lumberjack on a boat.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It was really a blue collar. Mm-hmm. I mean,
I did not know that. I didn't know merchant mariner. Is that merchant marine? But essentially, you're See, I hear that and I instantly thought of like, you know, like military or whatever, but it's really just
shoulder boards.
It's
and
really
all
not.
That.
It's not. It's just a it's sailor not at all. Delivering goods and services.
How many pirate skiffs did you have to fight off?
Here's the thing. It's kind of a joke, but I did have some. I went to weapons training at Fort Dix, New Jersey, mm-hmm. to get like an accreditation on my card, because in every ship they have like a couple guys who know how to work the firearms. So
yeah.
I had like. It was not a credit, but like an accreditation. So you could be on the pirate watch on the ship.
Oh,
but
shit.
Like most of the time, there aren't guns. And people don't want to, you know, they want to like take care of them and pay them off. But I was on a ship that was sailed in the exact waters off Somalia. My first job out of Piney Point was I sailed to Africa. I went through the Suez Canal and went to Somalia. It was during Operation Restore Hope. I don't know if you guys remember mm-hmm. that. It was like 1993. And I was there in that era in those waters.
Wow.
So it was during Black Hawk Down.
Yeah.
You guys remember
not
that.
Not a great time to be
not
in that part of the world.
To be there or – yeah, but it was pretty intense. And wow. I have a new album and I kind of talk about it a little bit. But until you leave America, you don't realize that the world is not America.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just people here have it so good, and they don't realize it until they.
Yeah, I mean,
are not here.
even on my ride to work in the morning, you hear about these horrific things happening halfway across the world on like NPR, and then you're like, oh, I'm gonna get a fucking Jamba Juice.
Right? they misspelled my name on the cup.
Yeah,
those bastards.
It's Dan with one N.
It's Dan with four N's. Damn it!
It's the only letter.
Yeah. My father's name is Dan. So maybe you guys have met.
Actually, I think I remember a Dan Knutson from our last Dan meeting.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Dan Band.
Yeah. It's all Dans. We get together once a year, just jam.
That's what I figured.
Yeah. I'll play the spoons.
That's funny. Girl songs. Spoons on all girl songs.
But yeah, it was a really influential time of my life, and I'm so happy that I did it. But it's like, you know how it's, as you get older, it feels like. Like rings on a sequoia. It's just like, dude. I can't believe that was me. Mm-hmm. And it was just a chapter that you turned the page next. And it was.
On to something else. New something new.
Next.
Yeah. Yeah. It's weird how that happens.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, I think of, like, I'm 32 now, and, you know, I've mentioned it on the podcast before, but I used to be in a punk band in my early 20s.
Cool.
And it was, even from then I lived in Orlando for a while, you know, studying recording arts and engineering. You know, I became a comedian out in Orlando, and it's rings. Like, time goes by so fast, but when you really reflect at your life and all that, it does seem like rings, and like it's almost like a dream how long ago it was and how short of a time it really was, that aspect over the grand scheme of your life. It's really weird.
Well put. I you know, I think everyone has like friends that are like, you know, high school, those were the days. It's like, oh my god. It didn't get any better than high school. Yeah. It's like, oh dude,
a long slow decline into acrimony and defeat.
It blows my mind that people say that, and it's like it's just like, god damn, it's right. I've been out of high school three times already.
I was like I had a good time, but I wouldn't say it's the best time, nor would I hope it's the best time.
I had my 20-year reunion, which is weird because I just graduated 10 years ago. Hey, guys. Then people were like, just
hold on, that math doesn't add up.
I'm young and with it,
what
everyone.
Can I say? I love a buffet.
But there were people who were just like, oh god, it just was, those were the days. You're like,
yeah. Touchdown.
Tug it on
the going to state.
Collar of your shirt. Just like, oh, you're right.
If I tug this anymore, it's going to be a V-neck.
Oh, big time. And what are you going to say? Like, no, they weren't. What's wrong with you? My life is infinitely better because I learned how to smile and nod.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Absolutely.
No, it's a skill that serves people well, and I don't think a lot of people realize that.
Oh, never underestimate the power of silence.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm. Anyway,
I was freaking out.
Man, that was powerful stuff.
Yeah. Tell us about a Dan with eight N's.
Yeah, so the letter J, speaking of letters, was actually the last letter added to the English alphabet. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's a fun fact. It used to be the same. There's a reason that it's right next to the letter I. They used to be the same character.
What?
Yes. Yes. Believe it. It had its beginnings as a Roman numeral and wound up as the 10th position in the English alphabet.
Yeah. It started off, it was kind of at the advent of lowercase letters and Roman numerals and all that, and at the advent of lowercase letters. Whereas the standard, you know, like if you say 13 in Roman numerals, it'd be an X and then three I's in theory, but it used to be all caps locks. Then once they, capital letters, and then when they, brought in the lowercase I's or whatever to like to show that it's the last I, it would have a little swoop on the end of it.
Denotes the conclusion of a series.
Yeah. So that way if you're having multiple series of Roman numerals, like you're doing like 13, 50, you would have the I to
I-J?
Sure. Yeah. But when did they decide to make it the H sound in Spanish? Is
There's a few pronunciations. There's the I sound, there's the H sound, and then there's a Y sound.
Right.
Of the J, like hallelujah is a Y. as Tyler Perry would say, hallelujah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course.
Good afternoon.
Afternoon. Nice to moont. I don't have anything. Yeah, I have to.
Yeah.
This is where you find out I've never seen a Tyler Perry movie.
I've seen one.
I've seen posters.
I've seen all of Madea's Fame Reunion. Mm-hmm. And, I have to say, pretty horrific all around. Maya Angelou's in that movie, surprisingly.
Absolutely.
And the big moral of the story is, if you are in an abusive relationship, cook a hot pot of grits and throw them in your abuser's face. I'm not making that up. That's what happened.
Well, now I don't need to see the movie.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
Spoiler.
Dad.
Spoiler.
You got to say spoiler alert before.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. Best Man Holiday.
Yeah. I heard that one's actually better than you'd expect.
The only reason I said that is because it's doing the rounds on HBO now. And I like Morris Chestnut.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of people that I'm like, oh, yeah. I like Kevin Hart, I assume, is in every movie ever.
Sure.
At least in this past year.
Yeah. This year.
Yeah.
This year he's
No, he was in the
so
Think Like
movies.
A Man movies. Excuse me.
Think Like a Man too.
Yes. Think Like a Man as well.
And it's a T-O-O.
Yes.
And then the O's are dice.
Oh.
Because it's Vegas.
That's like too much cutesy symbolism.
Or not enough.
Yeah. Think Like a Man, number 2, colon, 2?
Question mark. You tell us. I'll take my answer off the air.
We're getting a caller. Let's go to the boards.
We're going to the boards here. Now, Matt, you tour.
Yes.
You tour all over and do stand up.
True.
Have you ever been at the comedy club in the Mall of America? Have you ever done that gig?
I have not. I have yet to be there, but I bet. Actually, I don't bet. I know for a fact Minnesota is chock full of Knutsons. The Dakotas in Minnesota is where Knutsons.
A lot of Northern European heritage.
They're out in
there.
Force. Okay. So I should.
A lot of lutefisk.
A lot of lutefisk. A lot of lefse. Mm-hmm. A lot of conservative thinking.
Yeah.
It feels like I would clean up over there. But and yet I have never been.
Okay. Well, the reason I bring that up is just because here's a little bit of a fun fact about the Mall of America here. The Mall of America, as those of you know, is the huge-ass motherfucking mall in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm. That's their slogan.
That's their slogan.
It says it on the sign.
Welcome to Minnesota, home of the big-ass motherfucking Mall of America. It does not have central heating.
Hmm. What?
Fact, yeah. Instead, it is heated by solar windows, solar electronics, and the body heat from the shoppers. It's really neat.
And walking around one level of the Mall of America is 0.57 miles. There's 4.3 miles of total storefront footage that can fit 7 Yankee stadiums inside the entire mall.
And most of them are a dress barn.
Yeah, exactly.
Dress barn women. Gifts.
Dress barn, Ross Dress for Less, and there's 90 Spencer's Gifts locations. So many blacklight posters.
Speaking of, I guess if we're, you know, while we're chatting off stores that are in Mall of America, I just want to give a shout out. If you visit the Mall of America, there is a mirror maze in Mall of America that my buddy owns. Him and his dad, they build them all over the country. Again, they have one of those in the Mall of America. It's really fucking amazing. So go to this mirror maze in the Mall of America. It's amazing.
Here's a
shout out to my buddy Paul.
Well, while you're visiting the Mirror Maze,
hey,
if you were to visit the Mirror Maze and every other store, if you were to spend 10 minutes in every store in the mall, It would take you 86 hours.
Oof. Goddamn.
That is too much.
Well, you guys know, I don't know if you, especially in that area like Minnesota and where it gets really cold, senior citizens go mall walking.
Oh, yeah, it's exactly. They use it for exercise.
It's
they
an do. Exercise.
Yeah.
So hopefully none of them get lost in Paul's mirror maze. Yeah.
It's
happening?
Finally I happened, this panopticon.
I can't go. So much alliteration at the mall maze, at the mall, the mirrors. Yeah, they just don't want to go out and get cold, and I completely get
because
it.
Because they're constantly cold.
It's true.
Just one unyielding shiver.
Who touched the thermostat? Yeah, I get it. I don't want to, you know. I don't want to exercise too far away from a Cinnabon.
No,
not at my age.
Yeah,
you know?
Right. I need my protein.
I got to get a protein shake. Yeah. I want to watch women make lemonade wearing colorful hats and hot dog on a stick. And
I want to know how Wetzel makes his pretzels. And plus, my Aunt Annie lives there.
Yes. Hilarious. I actually had never been to a Wetzel's Pretzels. I was just last week at the Madhouse Comedy Club in San Diego.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And they had
I love that room.
It was really a very fun show. And then afterwards, it was like 10:30 or something. Everything was closed except for the Wetzel's Pretzels. And I was down there with Paul Danke. He was featuring for me.
Oh,
and
really great guy.
Love Paul Danke.
Shout out to Paulie.
Paul out to Paul Danke. And the only thing that was open was the Wetzel's Pretzels. So I got a pretzel dog. And I think Paul got like one of those pretzels that's like also a pizza, basically. They like put pepperoni in the whole thing. And it was like $9 or something. And I gave the woman in town. I was like, keep the change. She's like, hold on a second. And gave me free pretzel bite frosting.
Oh, my
thing.
Goodness.
So
yeah, they don't get tipped too much at the Wetzel Pretzels. So
tip a Wetzel's Pretzels that will give you $4 of additional food, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, Wetzel Pretzel. go ahead.
Well, I was actually going to go back to, we were talking about like TV judges earlier.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we're talking about
Lance Ito?
Yeah, exactly. My fave.
My fave.
What up, Lance?
Lance. Shout out to Lance Ito.
Hold on, ladies and gentlemen. Please welcome Lance Ito to the podcast.
Oh, what? if you could somehow keep your remarks into the context of the question. I actually saw we don't hang out, but I somewhat know Cato Kaelin.
Really?
And okay. I saw him like a few days ago.
He does the comedy. He visits comedy shows.
He does. And I remember this is like probably like almost 10 years ago, I was doing a show, maybe like 8 years ago, and he was at the show, and he came afterwards, and he's like, hey, would you mind if I bought you a beer and talked to you about comedy? I was like, I think that would be surreal and great.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
He did, and we did. We talked for like a half an hour, and I had never met him before that, but he was could not have been nicer. So TV judges.
Yes, TV judges.
Yes, TV judges.
I found this interesting article on Mental Floss, and it's asking the question, what legal authority does Judge Judy have? Because, you know, you see there's so many TV court shows, but what's actually happening there? Are they a real judge? And Judge Judy is a real judge. She was a real judge. She was appointed to criminal court by New York City Mayor Ed Koch.
Ed Koch. Yeah, Ed
okay.
Koch.
Back in 1982, then he made her Manhattan supervising family court judge in 86. But what's happening on the TV show is they don't take place in real courtrooms. They're not real trials, but they are usually real cases. The producers contact these parties who have cases that are pending litigation. So what you're seeing is arbitration just playing dress up in a small claims court. Mm-hmm. So arbitration, legal method for resolving disputes in the court. The disputing parties present their cases. A third-party arbitrator hears them, examines the evidence, and usually makes a binding decision. So, like a court case, this arbitration is adversarial, but it's a little less formal.
Sure.
So what Judge Judy does is she is acting as an arbitrator. What happens is they sign a contract before appearing on the show that her judgment, whatever she renders, will be final and binding to prevent them from negotiating the terms afterwards. And that allows them sort of some wide evidentiary discretion. So what she's doing, she is rendering judgment, but it's just not an official court.
Right. Well, that was like the preamble to the original People's Court.
Yeah.
It's like they have agreed to dismiss their case and have
these are real
case,
cases. These are
know,
real
settled
people.
Here in our forum, the People's Court. And then Doug Llewellyn just took it away.
Yeah.
The cases you are about to watch are based on facts, based on actual occurrence.
It's true. And Judge Wapner. Wapner and Rusty the bailiff. Mm-hmm. Judge Wapner's son is actually a real judge in the Southern California Circuit Court.
Really?
My wife was on jury duty and got and drew Judge Wapner, and she's like, I know, I get it all the time. I'm not that Judge Wapner. He's my father.
Yeah, please.
It's just like, oh.
Don't, please.
That's Mr. Wapner.
Judge Wapner is my father, but I'm also Judge Wapner, and you will refer to me as such.
It's true. You would expect, like, some kind of reversal that would distance himself from the original. Yeah. It's not me. It's my dad.
That my dad is Mr. Judge Wapner.
Yeah. I think Judge... I know she has a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Really?
I've walked past it. Judge Judy Sheinbaum.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of courts, here's a stretch of
go on.
And judges. Here's a stretch as far as courts and being found guilty or innocent of crimes. This is what the fact is.
Yeah.
like the dovetail transition.
Yeah. Fucking fuck you guys. So I'm just going to get to
this. I'm trying to crossfade this.
You'll get what I'm getting. this next guy was... He was found innocent by reason of insanity, and you'll get what I'm getting. So we're going to Pulp Fiction this, and I'm going to start off at the beginning.
Okay. Previously. On this bit.
Previously on this fact. You guys remember Avoid the Noid, right?
Of course.
Dan, do you remember Avoid the Noid?
I've seen the Noid commercials.
Okay. Dan's a little bit younger. He's 25. Mm-hmm. You just turned 25 last year, right?
Yeah, back in September. And this next September, 26. I'll be 26.
Well, here's the thing. Like, there's no reason to know references from a long time
ago. There's not. I mean,
there's just really not.
There's no. In reality, there's no reason. I mean, it's nostalgia is the first form of depression, as I always say.
Oh, good. Well put, man.
But it's always interesting, you know, to even that. You know, I'm 32, so there is a 7-year difference between us. But even that, you know. There's people my age who don't even, you know, it's just, you know.
And there's a 7-year difference between us.
Exactly. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like Dan knew what that Mike the Chicken was, but I didn't. So reference, it's very, you know, it's always interests me what people remember or what they've heard of or not.
I'm super into poultry.
I also think, too, unless it achieves some level of historical significance, why would you know that?
Yeah.
I'll tell you why, because Domino's Pizza is fucking awesome.
What?
Sorry, Papa John. I'm sorry I had to find out like this.
Sorry, John Shatner.
Yeah. Hey, John. No, I don't know. Papa. So anyways, back to it's John with two N's. Yeah. Avoid the Noid is, for those of you that don't know, the Noid was a marketing device for Domino's Pizza in the late 80s, early 90s.
Absolutely. He makes pizzas cold.
Exactly. He was the brand. He was like the Energizer Rabbit. He was the mascot. He was the Kool-Aid man. He was the Noid. It was the advertising character for Domino's Pizza created in the 1980s. He was clad in red, skin-tight bodysuit with rabbit ears. He had a big N on his chest. It was like a black... and on a white circle.
And
like
if I'm not mistaken, he was claymation. Or was. Made to look claymation.
Yep. The commercials were claymated. They were animated claymation, whatever.
That was it.
It works.
Claymation.
I'm pretty sure claymated works.
I think it works.
You would not get a red squiggly under it in Microsoft Word.
Absolutely.
Not to be confused with cremated.
Sure. Yeah.
He was claymated. He was a character who it was the Noid. He was it was the embodiment of becoming annoyed.
Right.
The Noid was a physical manifestation of all things, all the challenges inherent to making a pizza. Basically, what it was is Domino's Pizza had for a brief period of time a guarantee that we will deliver your pizza in 30 minutes or less,
or
your
pizza
will be free. Mm-hmm. Now, the Noid embodied the taking long. Like if it took longer than 30 minutes, it was because the Noid. You got annoyed because your pizza wasn't there. You were hungry, mm-hmm. you wanted your food, and you couldn't have it because the Noid prevented you from getting it.
Right.
But Domino's decided to get rid of the Noid. Fun fact, because a pistol-wielding man named Kenneth Lamar Noid took over one of its restaurants in January of 1989. This is quotes from boingboing.net, the article that I pulled this from. A police officer on the scene later revealed that Noid had an ongoing feud in his mind with the owner of Domino's Pizza about the Noid commercials. Wow. And thought the advertisements had specifically made fun of him. A headline following the following morning in the Boca Raton News sparked a talk show frenzy. Domino's hostages couldn't avoid the Noid this time. Now, this is where the segue about court rulings comes in. Noid was found innocent by reason of insanity and spent 3 months in a mental institution. But he never shook the idea that Domino's Noid campaign was intentionally created to harass him, and he committed suicide in 1995. Domino's dropped the Noid soon after that.
Wow.
On the plus side,
did not
though,
know that.
His pizza was free.
Right. Good luck getting a pizza in under a half hour when you're in a mental institution. Yeah, right. It was at the front desk in half hour. Shouldn't that count? No.
Well, we blended it up. We don't want any sharp crust edges for you.
Man. That's heartbreaking. That's you know, mental illness is, it's a bummer.
It's a bummer.
But if for some reason, I don't know what's going on in Florida.
Something.
What's going on with Florida?
Something in the water there. Like, instead of fluoride, they have, like, a psychoactive chemical or something that just makes people crazy.
That's the worst. We've mentioned it multiple times on this podcast, but Florida Man is a Twitter. Florida Man.
Amazing.
That's
amazing.
If you want the best headlines ever, follow Florida Man on Twitter.
Florida_man. I think the what's the word?
The picture? Avatar.
Thank you. Avatar is of a man mugshot, and he is in a tiger-painted or zombie-painted thing, and that's his mugshot. He came from some, like, kid's birthday party or something. Yeah. Florida Man.
Florida_man on Twitter. And it they copy and paste and put links to actual articles from Florida.
It's a police blogger article or, you know, I just don't understand.
Somebody who moved out of Florida and has somebody
that's right.
He's got a comeuppance. You'll get your comeuppance, Florida.
In your face, Kissimmee St. Cloud. What is that? What is that, like the Twin Cities?
Kissimmee is south of Orlando, but it's lumped in Orlando. Like, Disney World is in Kissimmee.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But how come when you hear one, you, like, don't hear it without the other? It's like Minnesota and St. Paul.
They're adjacent cities. Yeah. They're adjacent next
cities.
To each other.
Like Buda and Pest?
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, kind of like my hometown is Bay City, Saginaw, Midland, Flint.
I see.
So it's kind of like I feel like it's more small cities piggybacking on cities other
people. Also known as Baysack Midflint.
You might remember it from
wait till you follow the Bay City _man Twitter account.
Yeah, they
cold
just find
again.
Bay City rollers.
Local man chili.
Could not avoid the Noid.
No, he could not.
No, I did not know that about the Noid. And also, I remember there was, like, in the same era, that was the heyday for claymation commercials. The California Raisins.
Yeah. California Raisins.
That's brisk, baby.
Yeah.
That snowman who loved going in jacuzzis, but he's a snowman.
He couldn't help himself.
Yeah. It was hip, I guess. It was. I don't know if they were bringing it back from, like, the 60s or, like, the old, like, Christmas specials.
Yeah, those
or
were.
Or if it was,
also those, like, you know, it still appeals to kids. Like,
yeah.
You had adults and kids in there.
It's true. Yeah. Those Christmas things were produced by Rankin and Bass.
Rankin and Bass. Yeah.
And maybe they were just trying to tug on that nostalgia.
That sweet Rankin and Bass train.
I tell you what, man, I have all those DVDs at home.
Yeah.
And every Christmas, like, you know, clockwork, we pop in Rudolph and all that stuff.
Yeah, even the World Cup has
made
the baffling choice of doing a whole, like, animated campaign for their interstitials. Yeah, there's been a whole meta-narrative where, like, Nike put together this film where it's like the world's best soccer players must fight against
a
race of elite soccer Nazi monsters, like, just soulless soccer golems. Yeah.
Anyway, who are the Nazis going to cheer for in this World Cup final?
I don't know.
It's Germany versus Argentina?
I thought Brazil was going to use all their Hitler clones to let in seven goals. Boys from Brazil, if you haven't, if you're not familiar, it's basically, idea was that Hitler escaped to Brazil. They cloned him, and he had a bunch of kids down there, and they grew up essentially clones of Hitler, trying to recreate the circumstances that led to him becoming Adolf Hitler.
Okay. Right.
So they took art classes and they all failed.
Yeah, so none of them could sketch.
Yeah, so they're all fair to middling at watercolors.
Yeah, terrible.
But then I can't remember. It's been a while since I read it, but I think it was Simon Wiesenthal. There's famous Nazi hunter Simon Wiesenthal.
He just passed away.
Yeah.
Recently.
Which is like a single coolest profession, like Nazi hunter.
Right. Ugh. So what do you do for a living? Oh, I'm glad you asked.
I deliver justice. Anyway, let's not talk about Nazis. Let's instead segue to another mascot.
Okay.
You know?
I was going to, while we were talking about Christmas movies.
There we go.
We mentioned Rankin and Bass.
Rankin and Bass.
Rankin and Bass, popular. You know, they did Frosty the Snowman. They did the first Easter Rabbit. They did Santa Claus is Coming to Town.
They kept Burl Ives working.
They did The Little Drummer Boy. They did Return to Oz, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Rudolph.
Yep. They also subsequently did the animated. They did Thundercats and Silverhawks.
Thunder.
I did not know that.
They did the Thundercats.
Yep. They did Thundercats. Right. They did Silverhawks. They did. They did the animated Jackson 5 and the animated Osmonds.
Hello.
Yeah. While we were talking about Rankin Bass, but back to the Christmas. They did Christmas movies. Now, when you think of Christmas, but if I were to tell you name a Christmas song, what would you name?
Jingle Bells.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's, Jingle Bells.
Yeah.
It was, believe it or not, it was actually originally written for the Thanksgiving time. It was written by a gentleman by the name of James Lord Pierpont. Rest in peace. He was born 1822 to 1893. And it was published under the title One Horse Open Sleigh in the autumn of 1857. Even though it is now associated with the Christmas and holiday season, it was actually originally written to be sung for American Thanksgiving.
Huh.
Now, fun fact, Jingle Bells was the first song broadcast from space in a Christmas-themed prank by Gemini 6 astronauts Tom Safford and Wally Shearer.
Wow.
James Pierpont would be celebrating his 192nd birthday if he were still with us today.
If Razzle didn't murder him.
Yeah.
When did he... What was his date? When
He died 1893.
And when was he born?
1822. So good 70 years old. 71 years.
Right.
Kind of rare for being born in the 1820s.
Yeah.
He wasn't murdered by... He wasn't murdered by any outlaw, Mad Dog Biff Tannen. So.
Yeah. No, he drowned in eggnog.
Not a bad way to go.
Not a bad way to go.
Yeah,
creamy.
He tried.
Creamy
he tried. He always took the cream rises to the top thing wrong. It was supposed to be butter, buddy.
To the top of my lungs.
I'll make this work. But Dan was going to bring up some mascot facts.
Yeah.
Right?
So we were talking about the Noid earlier. Another big popular. Late 80s mascot, Spuds McKenzie.
Oh, Spuds.
Spuds McKenzie, that dog has become so associated with Spuds McKenzie that it's just called Spuds McKenzie dog.
Yeah, you just may as well call it. I heard something that I think is an urban legend, but if you've done any level of research, you might be able to confirm or debunk.
We will confirm this right now.
Spuds McKenzie was electrocuted after falling into a pool while shooting a commercial.
Yeah, no.
Is that true or
it
not
is.
True?
One of them could be true.
I'm sure he's probably there's 50 lassies.
There,
you know.
What it is, for those of you that don't know, you'll have to Google this. It's one of those mascots that if you weren't alive and watching TV during a certain era, you might not know about.
Right. Find me a dog that partied harder than Spuds. Yeah. I dare you. That's your challenge.
Scruff McGruff.
That's Dan corrected.
He was
the crime dog.
Scruff McGruff was taking all the coke from the police. The
evidence
the,
locker.
Spuds and Scruff partied harder. That's a sketch. If anybody's out there, an artist, can you draw us or somehow manufacture us some sort of sketch or picture?
Like a bunch of famous TV dogs
partying together with Scruff providing the booze and the coke. Yeah.
But Spuds McKenzie did not. That's an urban legend.
Yes.
Spuds did not die after being electrocuted in a hot tub or a pool. Spuds McKenzie, whose real name, the dog's real name, was Honey Tree Evil Eye.
Wow.
Died on May 31st, 1993, of kidney failure outside of North Riverside, Illinois.
Wow. He drowned in eggnog.
Yes. Unfortunately, a recurring theme for history's greats.
History's greatest monsters.
If you didn't drown in eggnog, who cares?
Yeah, why did you even bother
living? Why bother dying? Should
you
just kept living.
Natural causes.
Yeah.
Well,
kidney
today
failure.
I learned something new. So.
Yeah. Dog was 10 years old.
It's not a bad...
No, it's not. It's a long time. It's a 70-year-old dog, much like Pierpont was 71. The plot thickens like so much eggnog left out overnight.
But if you're at a human and you die at 10, it's somehow
sad, and you're going to get written up in the New York Post and be called an angel.
Oh. Yeah.
So true.
I guess while we're talking about beer, we got a couple. Here's a fun fact. A couple, two fun facts for wrapping up, I suppose, while we wrap up.
Before. And I just want to point out, while we're talking about beer, you are wearing a rockin' three-quarter sleeve Coors shirt.
I'm wearing a Coors shirt, and I don't drink alcohol.
The Silver Bullet.
The Silver Bullet.
Slash the Golden Banquet Beer.
The Banquet Beer.
I seen a picture of the Silver Bullet Coors train today, and I'm like, goddamn, I want somebody to somehow put... The Snowpiercer people on that train. What if the Snowpiercer would have been better if they were on the Coors train?
Your can will glow blue when orcs are nearby.
But another beer would be Milwaukee's Beast, Milwaukee's Best.
Yeah.
Manufactured. Yeah.
Oh, no.
The Beast with the yeast.
Yeah.
Old Milwaukee.
Manufactured in Milwaukee, obviously.
Yeah, just a kiss of the hops. So that's Schlitz.
Which is where, you know, Milwaukee, a baseball team, the Milwaukee Brewers.
Yeah, absolutely.
They get their name because Milwaukee is a big, Milwaukee is known for their brewing industry.
Yeah.
Right? And they have a baseball team called the Milwaukee Brewers.
Absolutely.
Now, here's a fun fact about this. The Milwaukee Brewers logo, it's like a mitt with the ball, right? It's a baseball mitt. Mm-hmm. It's made up of the letters M and B.
Absolutely.
The M make up the fingers, and the B makes up the thumb and the baseball.
Yeah.
It's a fun fact. I didn't know that. Then I look at it, and I'm like, holy shit.
I love that logo, and I love it. So I have that hat in my closet at home.
Really?
I remember specifically the first commercial, the first job I ever got in Los Angeles. I was supposed to be like a sports fan who was at this game, and I was literally yelling at baseball players, and they're like, so do you like sports? And I told the story about when I realized that the M and the B in the Milwaukee Brewers made a glove. And I was just so blown away on so many levels. Just like, all right, it's a visual double entendre. Mm-hmm.
That's some good design right
there. They nailed it.
Yeah,
they nailed it.
Those things always blow my mind, those logos like that you didn't even notice.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite facts about the Milwaukee Brewers is that the bottom of the sixth inning at every home game, they have a sausage race.
Oh, absolutely.
They have five sausage mascots. I feel like we might have talked about this before on the podcast, but it's worth repeating. So there are five. There's Bratwurst, who's a Bratwurst, whereas Austro-Bavarian Lederhosen. There's Stosh Jonjak, a Polish sausage who wears dark sunglasses. Guido, who is an Italian sausage, wears a chef's outfit. All right, a little on the nose.
Sure.
There's Frankie Furter, a hot dog who wears baseball uniforms. Last but not least, Cinco, the sombrero-wearing chorizo.
Oh, well done. And actually, there was like an ESPN analyst. I forget the guy's name. I think it was like Steve something. And he raced as one of the hot dogs last week or 2 weeks ago because I was watching SportsCenter and some other mascots were giving him advice about how to, you know, prepare and train for the event. And I don't know. I didn't see what happened.
Oh, no. That's never mind.
Yeah. What I'm most surprised by is that Milwaukee somehow abandoned that logo.
Yeah.
And now it's only like on their throwback things. Just like, what are you, insane? That's the best logo ever. I think followed close behind the LA Dodgers because the L, the line on the L makes the A cross. I love it. But yeah.
It's good. Yeah.
I remember sitting in the callback for the commercial with the Milwaukee Brewers thing, and I was sitting with some guy, and I think the reason I got the job is because some guy was like yelling at a baseball player, was like, I'm air quoting a fake baseball player, he's like, come on, you're blowing it! And I like looked over at him and I said, he just got a divorce. Be nicer. And they laughed, and it was so unrelated to anything that was happening. So
I love it.
Give him a break, man.
He just got a divorce.
That's so funny.
He had Tommy John surgery.
He did Tommy John. Yeah, but when we shot it, we actually had to go to a real baseball game, and they just roped a section off. So we were yelling at people who were actually playing baseball.
Really funny.
And it was an active game, but we were heckling.
Yeah.
And the thing was like, hit a home run. Come on. Home run, home run, home run. And then they hit one, and then you're like, hit another one. It's like, stay demanding.
Yeah. All right, can we set that home run to one?
I know, right? They're like, oh, I got a great idea. Anyway,
love it.
Blah blah blah.
Craft services was nothing but peanuts and crackers.
Which is true.
Please, I have a nut allergy. I can't do this.
I can't do this anymore, guys. Yeah, it was the Lake Elsinore Storm.
Lake Elsinore
Storm. It was the feeder team, I think, to the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Okay. Lake Elsinore.
The Deebs.
The Deebs. And their storm was like their. The logo was two eyes just like looking at you. And I bought one of the hats and I I don't know what happened to it, but I used to wear it all the time.
Elsinore Storm, not to be confused with Elsinore Beer from, Strange Brew.
Strange Brew.
With Rick Moranis and
Dave Thomas. Yes.
Not the Wendy's guy, but the very funny comedic actor, Dave Thomas.
Brilliant. Yeah,
Strange
he's brilliant.
Brew.
No way.
Take off, eh?
Get
the mouse in our beer, eh? You bunch of hosers.
Yeah. He's actually, he owns and operates a digital studio called Animax, I want to call it. And he does web content and videos and stuff all the time. I
love it.
I did something called Short Track, which is basically remote control cars that race and little figurines. And then we did voiceover for it.
Oh,
and
that's awesome.
It was me and Derek Miller. They did like a sports car, a NASCAR desk. And then we commented on the races. Here again. Well, look at it. And then they cut to the action that we're talking about. And it was a slot car. It's called slot car. So, but Dave Thomas, it was his joint.
Wow. Awesome.
Yeah.
Really cool. Fun facts.
The more
you know.
Ding, 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 ding.
No, we can't afford that.
We're going to have to edit out that noise.
Well, we're approaching our time up for this episode.
We pushed it to the limit.
And I can tell you something right now, guys. Absolutely. It was great.
Oh,
great.
Yeah. Excellent.
Good. Yeah.
Well, Matt, this is the time where you prostitute yourself to our listeners.
Oof.
For free.
Mm-hmm.
So sell yourself. Whatever you got coming up, you got a new album out on iTunes, you got stand-up dates, you got Twitter, say whatever
say
you want,
what
sell
you
yourselves.
My website's mattknudsen.com, it's MattKnudsen, and it has links for Twitter, Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
My new album is American.
Central Hub.
Yeah, I'm actually doing the High Plains Comedy Festival in August, and that has like... T.J. Miller, actually Jonah and Kumail, and just a bunch of Pete Holmes, a bunch of great comedians are going to be
there. Yeah, it's a solid lineup.
It's a solid lineup. I did it last year, and I was happy to be invited back. And
where's where's the High Plains Comedy Festival?
That's in Denver, Colorado.
Cool.
Yeah, so I'm actually going to be doing one of my podcasts out there. I do a podcast called Grabbing Lunch with Matt Knudsen.
It's a great podcast.
Where I just take comedians out to lunch, and we hang out. I'd love to have you guys on sometime.
Absolutely.
And we just... like it's record a casual hang over lunch. That's at grabbinglunch.com.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Very fun. There you have it. That's Matt Knudsen.
There you don't have it.
There you don't have it.
How don't you have it?
Well, you can't record. You can't rewind
this. I don't
have
it so much.
I hope you can't rewind this. This is a one-time listen only. It deletes off of your
iPhone. This podcast will destroy itself at the end of this recording.
Yes, and I will say this. If anyone wants to find me on Twitter, it's at Matt Knudsen. Tweet at me and ask me how the Arsenio Hall show was tonight.
Yes.
I will reply, and I'll tell you.
Yes, tweet
I'm sure
at Matt Knudsen and ask.
Yeah.
There you have it. As usual, you can follow me on Twitter at my name is Razzle2.
And I am at Osteoferocious. And if you want to follow the podcast, we are on Twitter as well at TWL Podcast. You can send us an email, twlpodcast@gmail.com, and you can find us on Facebook, Today We Learned with Razzle and Dan. And as always, we really appreciate all the kind words, comments, ratings, and stuff you leave us on iTunes. They're like waking up on Christmas morning and finding a present that's just full of stars.
Yeah. And for those of you going to Comic-Con this year, we're all going to be down there. I might be down there as well.
So. Come play some laser tag on top of Petco Park. I'll be up there and also just
we'll
cavorting around.
Yeah.
I'll be cosplaying as Razzle.
Tweet at us, and I'll be dressed as a stormtrooper, and I'll be giving out $10,000 to the first person to punch me in the balls.
So just start punching
stormtroopers.
Only the first person.
Yeah.
The
last person will owe me $10,000.
That's such an old joke, but it works every year.
Yeah.
It's so funny every year.
Absolutely.
I have no remorse of using that joke once every year.
Well, the thing is, it's like once you find something that works, why would you ever change?
Mm-hmm.
there we have it. So once again, thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading this. Drive safe. Tell your friends. Have a great summer. Continue listening to this, and feel free to give us a good review on iTunes and all that shit. And as always.
All good things, even breadsticks, must end.
Thanks, guys.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.